So nice to have you all here tonight. Thank you, musicians. Our old pastor used to say, thank you, magicians. Because I don't know how to play. It seems like magic to me. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, I don't have a really long message. I hope it won't be too long. But tonight's message is kind of a tie-in to Pastor's message from last week. Does anybody remember last week's, what Pastor taught on? There, the straight and narrow path. That's good. Yay! Sometimes we, as speakers, sometimes, you know, you're doing a lot of different classes, and it's like, which one did I do last week? So it's nice to know that other people remember what it was. Okay, Brother Davenport. Do I turn on both sides? Which side? On the right? The one with the picture or the one without the picture? Without the picture, okay. Yeah, when you showed that to me earlier, it's like, oh, I didn't know one side had pictures. I didn't know there was two sides to it. I said, oh, no, what side is it? Not paying enough attention. So I thought this was so neat that they sang about holiness tonight, because that's what the message is about, too, the way of holiness. And if you look at that picture up there, that's kind of considered the straight and narrow, right? That is not a highway. That is a straight path. And that is kind of a paved path, though. It's a paved path. But it is still, and it, right, it's not really, it's not straight as in straight. It's the other straight. The narrow, straight and narrow. So this is what we're going to be looking at tonight. And this tonight's lesson is more on the Christian and sin. And how that has, it's really like the ground level into holiness, what we're talking about. And why don't we just go ahead and pray right now before we go into our scripture. Lord Jesus, I thank you again, God, for letting us be here tonight. Lord, I ask, God, that you would move among your people tonight, God. Move in me, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that the words that come from my lips tonight, God, will find a place in the hearts of your people. Lord, we are so thankful to be here. Thank you that you've given us an opportunity to walk in your way, Lord. We love you and thank you, God, for everything that you do. Bless us all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you may be seated, and we are going to try this out. Aha, the way of holiness, lesson one. And we are going to start, I'm just going to read through Romans chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. I'm not going to go real slow on this part because we're going to be touching again on it later, but I did want to kind of do this as a, just coming into the message tonight. So, if you have your Bible, too, don't just trust on this thing tonight. I hope you have your Bible with you. So, here we go. Let's go. We are going to start here. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Anybody else want to try that? Concupiscence. I had to practice that word today, folks. Concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. This is where we're going to start tonight. This is where we're going to be talking about sin and God's holiness. And you can go ahead and be seated again. So, the Christian and sin. Sin is an age-old problem, right? Ever since Adam and Eve, they're the ones that brought it into the world. They started out in a really wonderful place in the Garden of Eden, but they disobeyed. That's part of sin, is disobeying. It's an age-old problem. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are clean enough to come before God. We have all sinned. In 1 John 1 and 10, there we go. Something happened. Hold on a minute. In 1 John 1 and 10, it says if we go around saying, oh, I've never sinned, well, we make God a liar because God has said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are going to read more of that, these verses, a little bit later. But we're talking tonight about the sinful nature. Sin, it's just a part of us because we have this sinful nature, what came from Adam and Eve. This sinful nature is also called the law of sin, the carnal man, or the flesh. That's what we're talking about, the sinful nature, that flesh that we have, the carnal man, not the spiritual man, the carnal man, and we can group that all in the law of sin. So all of these terms are they're coinciding together. They come together. Now, when we talk about the law of sin, I wanted to kind of compare it to something that we all know of. Gotta find the right one to do. Here we go. Does anybody know what that law is called? The law of gravity, exactly. It happens every time, right? It happens all the time, the same way, the same thing. Anything that's up can fall down. Gravity is always there. Well, unfortunately, in our case, the law of sin is always there too. We have to deal with it all the time. It's just part of the world. And no one is exempt from it. No one. In Psalm 51:5, it says that we were shaped in iniquity, conceived in sin. And in Romans 5:12, it says, again, for all have sinned because of Adam. We're all sinners. Oh, there we go. So between capacity and compulsion, it's more than just a capacity or an ability for us to sin. It's more than that. It's this compulsion to sin. Compulsion is that drive where you're driven to do something, a desire to do something. It's an urging, that driven. And there's this war between the flesh and the spirit. You can kind of think of, you know, those two little angels or whatever, not angels. One's a devil, one's an angel on your shoulder, and you're back and forth of should I do it or shouldn't I do it? And the godly angel is telling you, no, don't do that thing. And the other one's, oh, yes, it's going to be fun. Go ahead and do it. So we have this compulsion to go towards it. While I was studying today, experience of mine from years ago before I got into church came to my mind. I know a lot of you won't believe this, but when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I had a real problem with drinking. And there was one night in the middle of the week that I felt like I just needed to go to the bar. I needed to go. And I found myself at home going, who can I get to go with me? Who can I get to go with me? I had called my girlfriend, and she wasn't going to go with me. And I go, who else can I go to? Oh, I was pacing back and forth. And I remember thinking, why do I have this urge? Why do I have to go? You know, I'm just pacing back and forth. And I finally got to the place that I said, fine, I'll just go by myself. And I think I was about 19 at the time. Fine, I'll just go by myself. And in the middle of the week, you can figure when you go into a bar, it's not the weekend Saturday crowd. It's the old people that are addicted to drink. And when I got in there, you know, it's like, oh, now what do I do? My friends aren't here. Oh, no, what is this, you know, and everything. I'm here by myself. And I did. I ordered a drink, and I sat there, and I drank it. And the whole time that I was sitting there, I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And I could look down, you know, over in the other part of the corner. It's like, here's this guy that's like 65, almost 70 years old, still drinking. And it came to my mind. I mean, these were experiences that I know that God was dealing with me at that time. He was preparing me. He was making me come to repentance because it was at that point, it's just like, what am I doing here? I don't want to be like that. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. So after that drink, I did go home and whatever. But I just remember that drive, that urge. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. And it was, and then there's this fight in your mind, really, right? And that's what sin does to us. Sin just wants what Satan does, steal, kill, and destroy, right? So we're driven by this sinful nature. And it's that war, it's that compulsion. The compulsion to sin is natural. But the spiritual that we really desire, that has to be acquired. That's something that you have to search for. It's something that you have to practice and experience. Neither the law of God or those commandments. But if you just read the book or the Old Testament, or we're going to be talking more about the Old Testament tonight. But the law of God in itself will not help you overcome the law of sin. Your mind, you can be really determined. You can be a really self-determined person. But the law of your mind cannot overcome the law of sin in itself. You have to have more than that. You have to have more. So this is Romans chapter 7 that I'm passing out tonight. Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole thing. Although I did read the whole thing earlier today, and it took me about 7 minutes. But we're not going to be reading the whole thing. I wanted to give this to you, though, because this is the New Living Testament. New Living Translation. I'm sorry, New Living Translation. And it's just... what year? That's why I printed it out, right? So we have it. We don't have to mess with the screen up there. Plus, I was having a really hard time with the PowerPoint. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Yeah. What I did the other night, I spent hours putting it together, and it all disappeared. So, yeah. So, anyway... we're doing this tonight. So each of you have a copy of the New Living Translation to read along with me. And so we're just going to point out some of these scriptures here, starting at verse 1, where it says, and this is Paul writing. He's writing to the Romans. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, the Old Testament, we're talking Mosaic law now, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living?" In the King James Version, that portion, "law applies," says, "hath dominion over." The law has dominion. It has power. It has control. Only while a person is living. It only has power while it's living, while a person is living. Verses 2 and 3 talks about if a couple was married, then, you know, when one dies, well, then you're not connected to the law of marriage anymore. That person has died. And in verse 4, "So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law of sin when you died with Christ." He's talking to the church. All these people have been baptized in Jesus' name. They've been filled with the Spirit. "You died to the law of sin when you came to Christ. And now you are united by the Holy Spirit with the one who was raised from the dead. You are married now to Jesus Christ." When you made that step to follow him, to be baptized in his name, you took on his name, like in marriage. And as a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Because what happened in the law of sin? Evil things. Verse 5 is right here what it says. "When we are controlled by our old nature, those sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death." The law of sin results in death. I'm going to jump down to verse 7. "Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? The Old Testament law, is that sinful? Of course not. God forbid," in the King James, "God forbid. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting was wrong if the law had not said, 'You must not covet.'" Has anybody of you ever gone past a wet paint sign before? Wet paint? What's that urge to do? Yeah, you all, let me see how wet it is. Is it really wet? Is it wet? Oh, it's dry now, because I tried it. I tested it. Now, if that wet paint sign wasn't there, would you have a desire to go over there and test it? You wouldn't even think about it, because it's just there. You wouldn't do that. But the sign brings attention to it. So the Old Testament, the letters of the law, were those signs. Those signs. Coveting is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Killing is wrong. It's the signs. It's the making it plain that these things were wrong. If we go down to verse 14. "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I'm still too human, a slave to sin." Now this is Paul writing this. Paul the apostle, Paul a follower of Jesus Christ, Paul the one that had been in shipwrecks for Jesus, had been whipped and had been tortured at different times, people trying to kill him, all these different horrible things, been put in jail many times. And this is what he says about himself. "The trouble is with me, for I am still too human, a slave to sin." We all deal with the sinful nature. We all struggle with it. Even once you get the Holy Ghost, it becomes even more of a power struggle, because now you know what you're striving for. Now you know, oh, God is so holy and I'm not. And I want to be like him, but I'm not. You know, you have this struggle back and forth, back and forth. In verse 18, he says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me, that law of sin that keeps working in me. That's what is doing it." So in verse 21, he says, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." Verse 22, this is what we would all say, right? I love God's law with all my heart. I want to be like Him. I want to be holy. Because that's God's law. That's the holiness of God. That's His Spirit. That's His Word. That's everything about Him. That's what I love. I love Him. I want to be like Him. I want to be there. Verse 23 says, But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. I don't even have to ask. I know everybody, every one of us that are trying to live for God, we have that in our mind, that fight in our mind. I shouldn't be thinking this way. I shouldn't be thinking that way. No, no, no. And, or you are thinking a certain way, and then all of a sudden you catch yourself, what am I thinking? No, I don't want to do that. I need to go read my Bible. I need to put on some music. I need to do something, right? Because your mind has the power to pull you away. Where he says here, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who else? In verse 25, he says, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. We truly are. We have this battle all the time. It's that war. And that war can bring a person into captivity because the law of sin has dominion, it has power, has control. And you can stand, well, who can deliver us from the body of this death? Of course, it's Jesus Christ. The thing of it is, when we come to Jesus, when, you know, we get baptized, do you realize what you're doing when you come to God? You are making a decision to go after Jesus. You have come to the decision that you've come to the realization that I am very unholy. I am a sinner. And I need God. So it's with the mind that we serve. You're making these decisions with your mind. I need to follow that because it says, every one of you, I need to do that. I need to do that. That's the law of God, and I need to do that. So we serve the law of God, which is life, with our mind, and that's our flesh, all the fleshly desires that follow the law of sin, and that is death. We can't live a holy life by good intentions or by the law alone. I've already told you what we need. We need God's Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. That's where the power is. The power of the Holy Ghost is what gives us a right mind. It helps us to overcome, to make the right decisions. When you're struggling between this one and that one and this one and that one, God's going to help you to say, no, go that way. Go that way. Don't just follow what you want to do. You have to make a decision. No, I need to do the right thing. I'm going to go that way. So we do have a sinful nature that we can and must subdue. We can do it. We can do it with the power of God. We can do it. And we have to do it to be holy. To be holy. Holiness is something that we just, you have to have it to have God. To get into heaven. Heaven is holy. Heaven is holy. It's a holy, holy place. So, we can overcome the things that come against us. Slide 8. There we go. Galatians. In Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, this is what, if you have your Bible, you might want to look it up, but I'm going to read it from here. It says, "This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In this context, lust means desire. So if you walk in the Spirit of God, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You're going to be stopped. It's like the warning sign or the gate or something that's going to stop you when we walk in the Spirit, when we follow after God. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." They're fighting against each other. Lusteth in this context is from a Greek word, thumos. Thumos, I think is how you say it. So in this context, in this part, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit," it means a fierce indignation or wrath. So it's that war. It's a war. It's not just, oh, do you want to go this time? Go ahead. You can, flesh, you can do what you want to do now. Oh, Spirit, it's your time. You can go ahead and do that. You know, they don't relinquish one to the other. It's a constant fight. It's a battle that we're going to have to do. The flesh, oh, here it is. The Spirit and flesh lust against each other. The flesh wants the Spirit to be carnal. Come on, Spirit, let's just go and do what we want to do. And the Spirit wants the flesh to be spiritual. Come on, flesh, we're going to go to prayer. Come on, flesh, we're going to do some fasting. Come on, flesh, we're going to go to church again when you really don't feel like it. You're going to do it anyway because the Spirit wants us to be spiritual. In James chapter 4, this is just a portion of it. James chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 4. No, this is James talking. This isn't me talking, right? "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity," or at war. Enmity means war with God. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, this is James talking. This isn't just Paul anymore. This is James talking. And in verse 5, he says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain," or for no reason, "that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" So that portion right up there, "the Spirit which dwelleth in us lusteth to envy," means that the Holy Ghost in us of God can be jealous. And the Scripture that he's alluding to is in Numbers chapter 5. A lot. I was just listening to this the other day and just thinking, oh, that would be just horrible. Because Numbers chapter 5, starting at verse 11 to 31, it's 20 verses talking about this. Talking about if a husband became jealous of his wife, if he thought that she was cheating on him, that he could make a petition to the elder in the church, and the elder would come up with this specific concoction that she would have to drink. And if she was fine. If there was no side effects to this little drink that she had to drink, nothing would happen, and she would be free. This was God, like God's way of showing, no, she's honest, she's honest. This husband just had a spirit of jealousy on him. But it goes on to say that if she really was cheating on him, that this concoction, that the Lord would use it, and it would cause her to become very sickly, very, very sickly. And so when James is making this, he's pointing to this scripture. He's saying, why do you think that scripture was in the Bible? Why do you think that? Was it just for the humans? And James is saying, no, it's connected to the Spirit of God, too. God can be jealous, just like a husband could be. He's jealous. He can be jealous. In Numbers, I'm just going to read two verses in Numbers 5, 14, starting at verse 14. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. This, in verse 29, jumping down to 29, says, this is the law of jealousies, when a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. So when James is making that comparison, he's saying how the Holy Spirit inside of us doesn't want, he wants all of our attention. The Holy Ghost wants all of our attention, all of us. He wants, it want, it's supposed to be like that love between husband and wife, like no other. And it's got to be even more with God, of course. We want to give him everything. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods, no other idols, no other, can I say, distractions? All these things. God wants all of our devotion. Because he is a jealous God. Let's see. 1 John 1:8. Again, I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, thank the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say that we don't have any sin, no, I don't have a problem with this, I don't have a problem with that, I'm okay. I had relatives that say, I'm okay with the Lord. And they'd never read the Bible, been to church only occasionally in many, many years. It's like, how can you say that you are right with God when you don't even know God? How can you say that? If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You believe in untruth, or you're misled. In this Bible study, it says that there's no deception worse than self-deception. I'm sure all of us have come across people over the years that you just know. They don't even know what they're talking about. They are deceived. And no man, we have to understand this too, that none of us is exempt from the ability to be deceived. None of us. That's why I pray over and over and over, God, please let me never be deceived. God, help me to see the right and the wrong. Help me, Jesus, to walk the right way, not to be deceived, not to hear the wrong thing, not to follow the wrong things, but to follow what God has for us. Pray that. Pray, Lord, help me not to be deceived. Because the Bible even says in the last days that the elect could be deceived. The elect, those that are close to God, could be deceived. So it's not something that anyone is exempt from. Slide 11. Paul was looking for an escape from the body of death. You know, when he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, right away, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul is looking. We know that it's God. God through Jesus Christ, his flesh that he gave on the cross for us is the only way to get over this law of sin and death. We can't deliver ourselves. Others can't deliver us. The Bible, just the words of the Bible, can't deliver us. Sacrifices aren't going to deliver us. It's only Jesus Christ. He's the only means of our deliverance from the carnal man. And that's why we need to walk in the Holy Ghost. Continue. Don't let it be just a one-time thing. When you came up out of the baptismal waters and you spoke in tongues and you were praying, don't let it be a one-time thing. Stir up the gift that's within you. Keep it going. Keep it going. Pray. In actuality, you should be able to pray in the Spirit every day. As you're focusing on the Lord, he's going to come to you. You lift him up and he's going to come to you. If Rachel comes to my house, yeah, you, Rachel. Because it's such a wonderful, marvelous thing that the Lord took us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we were so lost in sin, when we were so far away from God, not even thinking about it. I didn't care what the word said. I didn't know what it said. I didn't care what it said. I didn't want it. And yet he was willing to see me in a bar and saying, "You don't want to be like that the rest of your life. You don't want to be like that when you get to be 70 years old. God was moving on us, bringing us to repentance. Oh, he just wants our devotion from us. We don't have to do anything for him to love us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. But what we do need to do is to love what he loves. Find out what he loves. Find out what he hates. Follow him. Do what he... It's all good. You might not understand it, but it's all good. He wants so much more for us than what we could even ever imagine. If you would go ahead and stand with me. It's kind of... In Amos, I don't have a... Maybe Brother Davenport, could you find Amos 3:3 for me? That was one of the parts that I had a problem with the PowerPoint. There were some things I couldn't add, and I was having a hard time with it. So Amos 3:3. Nice and easy. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I know you all understand that. That's a pretty straightforward statement right there. But there's two other versions that I want to read. Two people will not walk together unless they have agreed to do so. When you got baptized, you were agreeing with God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to walk with you. The New Living Translation, I don't know what year, it says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? You're not going to be together, are you? If you go in different directions. So this is what God is talking about. He wants us to walk with Him. And that's when you've received His Spirit, that's what He wants to do for you, to keep walking with Him. So this is the question that we need to keep asking ourselves every day, every day. Whose direction am I following? What direction am I going? Who am I agreeing with? Who am I agreeing with? Is it the broad way of the world or the straight way of God's holiness? Those are the ways that we have. We can't go both ways. You can't be in agreement if you're going both ways. So right now, let's just go ahead and pray. I would pray that you would even take the opportunity right now. Reach out to Jesus and pray in the Spirit. You are amongst believers right now. You are in the presence of God. Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you so much, God, for the opportunity of being here tonight, God. There's not one of us, Jesus, God, that on our own that we would be here. It's only you, God, that's drawing us. It's you, Lord Jesus, that made a way, that you would take away our sin, Lord Jesus, that you would give us power over our flesh, over our sin, over our mind, Lord Jesus. God, that you would help us to do what you would want us to do, Lord, to walk in holiness, God, to not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed in our mind, Lord Jesus, to be transformed in your will, Lord, that your will, Lord Jesus, would just be formed in us, Lord God. Give us a desire, God, not for the things of sin and the flesh, but of you, God. We love you and thank you, Jesus, for your mercies. Oh, my Jesus, bless your people tonight, my God. Have your way in us, Jesus. Oh, reach down into our hearts, Lord.